Hi, once again, everyone, and welcome to the Gallery of the Mind. This is the third podcast, so I think you have an idea of what to expect here. I'd like to include your pictures, too. Please send me audio files of your short stories or poems read by you. I will showcase some of them on future shows. Also, please send me your impressions of some of your journeys through the works that I have presented to you. Send your impressions to webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. That's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Well, this is a special episode. I will present probably my most popular story to you. You have to hear the whole story to get the effect. Unfortunately, it is longer than my podcast, so I have to break it into two pieces. You'll get most of it this podcast, and the rest of it next podcast. The theme for this podcast is eerie, and the work is called A Backwards Two. You find yourself in an alley, looking at a picture hanging on a wall. It is a simple, plain white canvas with a two drawn backwards. You wonder what it could mean.
A Backwards Two. This story begins with a stranger on a bus, one who sat there staring out of a window. He was prone to staring, always lost in thought, always thinking ahead. He was one with such heavy burdens. He had so many things to hide, so many things, including his name. But now he was on vacation. He had a little time to get away from it all. He found himself on this bus headed into a little town named Beville. The name of the town was a little odd for those who didn't know its history. The town was named by a French priest. Actually, he founded two towns, and this was the second. Some think that he put D on the name because it was the second town he founded. Yes, some think that, but they are wrong. It was a tribute to the fact that the town sat between two rivers. The rivers rushed cool before the drought, and the priest always felt that they were special. He loved to stand beside them and stare at the flowing water, lost in thought. That's why he rallied the settlers to push the Indians off this land. That's why the rivers briefly ran red. Yes, many Indians were slaughtered in this vicious fight for this land, but a God-fearing town arose from this. This was the crusading priest's pleasure. This was his paradise between two rivers. And that's why he named it so. To the people here, the name of the town didn't really matter. The people here were generally happy, and that's what matters. There were several ways to come to the tiny town, even though it was small and out in the middle of nowhere. It was a country town, whose only bad point seemed to be that it was too hot and dry due to a drought. The people were so spread out that it was almost hard to call it a town, even though everyone was connected through genuine friendliness. Everyone knew everyone's name, and everyone knew that names didn't matter. You may believe that's why the stranger was drawn here. You may think that, but you would be wrong. In fact, he came to tell his name. He came to tell his name to the priest of the town. It was an odd mission for a man, but this was not a man. He was so much more and so much less. He was forever known as Satan. In the little town, there is a church and a little house next to it. The little house belongs to Father Lambert and his 14-year-old daughter, Amanda.
Amanda, what time is it?
It's almost 2. Here is your tea, Father.
Oh, thank you. Did you sweep out the church yet?
I'm going there now.
I'll come too, after I finish my tea.
Amanda goes to the front door and opens it. She is startled to see a man just standing there in front of the door. Oh, I'm sorry you startled me.
I'm here to see your father.
Father, there's a man here to see you.
Please send him in.
Come on in and have a seat. I'll get you a cup if you'd like some tea.
That would be nice.
The priest stands to shake hands with Satan as he enters the kitchen.
Hi, I'm Father Lambert. Oh, well, you know my name. Do I know you? Well, you think that you do. Who are you? I'm a kindred spirit. What?
Amanda comes to the table with a cup. I'm sorry, but the handle is broken off of this cup. But this is the only one we have.
It is fine. Thank you, Amanda.
How did you know my name?
Oh, I remember the day you were born.
You must be an old friend of my father's. Father Lambert is silent. Well, I'm going to the church and sweep. Amanda leaves. The priest and Satan sit.
So, who are you? Before I answer that, let me tell you who you are.
The priest looks perplexed.
You are a fair man. A man that I can talk to. I need a friend. I need a kindred spirit. Son, I will help you in any way that I can. I knew that you'd say that. You are a good man. Just like Job. Son, what are you talking about? People don't understand you. You have such an optimism. It's an optimism that I have rarely come across. People don't understand that. You would try to help anyone without caring about yourself. Your ideas would be considered passé these days. You're just a backwards country priest. Now, calm down, son, calm down. People don't understand me either. I'm considered evil, but I'm not. People won't give me a chance. They just don't understand me. They don't understand us. We're just backwards to them. We are a backwards too. Son, what is your name? I've come to tell you my name. But first I have to remind you of the 3 rules that you live by. The 3 rules brought me to you. The rules. There is good in everything. Good can transform evil. Sometimes the highest good seems evil at first. Yes. You are so optimistic. My name is... I have 2 letters for you. The first letter will explain the questions you have about me. This other letter is the last letter that I will give you. I'm afraid that I will not have a chance to give it to you. Do not open it yet. It is to be my last communication to you. I will take my leave now.
Satan drops the envelopes on the table. Then he turns and heads for the door.
What is your name? I am Satan, but you can call me the devil if you like.
The priest freezes. Maybe it was an angel whispering in the priest's ear, or just a priest's innate ability to discern the truth. But he knew the incredulous words were true. He didn't open the letters that Satan had left him. He spent most of the day in prayer. He only stopped praying at supper time. He was affected by the meeting and just could not console himself. He hadn't told anyone that day what had happened. And so did the day end. The next morning, the priest arrived at breakfast, disheveled. The night had not been kind to the priest, and sleep was an angel that didn't visit that night. He sat there at breakfast, wondering why Satan had come to him. Daddy, what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong, dear.
Yesterday, you acted so strange. I didn't ask then, but I can't stand to see you like this. It reminds me of when Mother died. Amanda's words were maybe the only words that could have been said to shake the priest out of his dream world of dread. He looks at Amanda, and the subject of his thoughts completely change. His wife died when Amanda was a child of 8. Her mother's death hurt her so much. It hurt both of them, each in their own way. Amanda was so distraught that she never really recovered. She is emotionally unstable, prone to wild swings in emotion. Her father tried to reach out to her, but he couldn't. They were never close. Her mother always took care of Amanda. Father Lambert was always so busy in those days, he never got to really be close to her. Now he longs to reach out to her, but can't. He so wishes that she would let him closer. He loves her. She is the one thing that touches his heart more than anything else. He knows that she silently blames him for not giving her the attention that she should have. You started acting strangely after that man left yesterday. Did he say something to you?
Nothing that concerns you.
He did say some things to me. The priest looks up from his plate, directly at Amanda.
What did he say?
I'll tell you if you tell me.
That man is unholy. Don't go near him. He thinks that he is Satan.
He is. There is silence. The priest assesses the situation.
And how do you know that?
Did you read the letter he left?
No, but that is not my question. How do you know that he is Satan?
He told me.
Before he left?
No, when he came back. The father goes flush.
What?
I couldn't sleep well last night. It was so hot inside. I woke up at about 2 a.m. and decided to go sit on the porch. It was so strange. When I came onto the porch, I saw him standing there in the moonlight. He was just standing there staring at the church. I stood there watching him, and I felt so sad. I felt so sad for him. The priest just looks on. I felt compelled to say something to him. I walked over to him, and he asked me to go for a walk. I don't know why, but I decided to walk with him. We walked a bit, and he explained that he was good, even though he was Satan. He was a servant of God.
Did he harm you?
No. We just walked and talked. He just wanted me to remind you to read the letter.
Reach me my glasses.
Where are they?
I think I put them near the couch.
Amanda searches but does not find them. I'll read the letter to you. Where is it?
Over there.
There are two letters here.
I know. He left a letter for now and a letter he said that he would be his last letter to me. The one on top is the letter he wishes me to read.
Amanda opens the letter and prepares to read as Father Lambert whispers to himself.
Why did you come here?
I have told you that I came because I need someone to confide in. You are like me. The world doesn't understand us.
I am nothing like him. I was not cast out from heaven.
Oh, but I was not cast from heaven either. You are thinking of the angel of the morning, Lucifer. I am not him. I am the adversary of God.
The adversary of God?
I am that which opposes God. I only assume the job God has given me. My actions seem evil, but they make souls strong. Without me, there would be no growth of the soul. I test and temper like fire. I am hated and ridiculed, but I only help. The burden God has given me is a heavy one. but I will persevere.
Satan is a liar. He does nothing but evil.
I do not. When someone breaks a bone, the bone mends itself and becomes stronger. The trauma made the bone stronger. I am the trauma that takes you to God. I am a priest. We are the same.
Oh, and how can I trust your words?
You must trust me by the three rules you live by. Must I list them? Number one, there is good in everything. Everything includes me. Number two, good can transform evil. I transform souls from imperfection to perfection. Number three, sometimes the highest good may seem evil. I am a living example of this. I know that you have integrity. You must believe me. If you truly believe those words, then you must believe me. You must give me the chance to open myself to you. You must give me the chance to have a friend. It is only every few hundred years or so that I am freed from my obligations. As Amanda yells the words, the priest realizes that a dialogue has been going on.
What else does the letter say?
It ends there.
How could he have known every question that I was going to ask?
Because he is Satan. The distrust and concern can be seen in the priest's eyes.
What should I do?
There is another letter.
I know, but he said not to read it yet. This is the last letter, the letter that he will not be able to deliver.
Why won't he be able to deliver it? We should read it now. If he anticipated your questions, then maybe the last letter anticipates questions you will have at that time. We can see your frame of mind in the future. It may give some hint as to what we should do from now.
Read the letter.
Amanda opens the letter. There's nothing here. It's blank. What could that mean?
Maybe the writing will be there in the future. Maybe the future isn't set yet, so there's nothing on the paper.
Wow. That would explain why it is not to be read now. This is too weird.
Hold the paper back up so it looks unread.
As Amanda folds the letter, there is a sharp knock on the door. Amanda and Father Lambert freeze. I'll get it.
No, I'll get it.
The priest makes his way to the front door, as again there is a hard rapping at the door.
Who is it?
Father, please, I must speak with you.
Father Lambert opens the door to see two of his longtime absent parishioners, a man named Joseph and his wife, Charlotte. Joseph's face is red, so Father Lambert can tell Joseph is distressed.
For a man so newly married, you don't look very happy.
Please pray for me, Father. Please pray for me.
What's wrong?
Last night, my animals started acting crazy, making all kinds of noise. I could feel an evil in the air. I could tell it was just plain unnatural. I went outside and heard. I heard the words. I am Satan. I swear, Father. Oh, excuse me. Oh, Father. And my barn burst into flames. It was horrible. I lost the whole barn and my two horses. I fought the fire with all I had, but I wasn't able to save the barn or the horses.
Joseph and his wife are nearly hysterical. Father Lambert counsels them for most of the morning. Finally, in the afternoon, they leave. Father Lambert bids them farewell and closes the door. As he does, he hears sobbing coming from his daughter's room. So he makes his way to her room.
What's the matter, honey?
They were so sad. I could just feel their sadness and fear. Losing the barn and the horses really hurt them. I thought that it was good. I thought that it was good.
Amanda, what are you talking about?
I burned down the barn.
Amanda, why?
I don't know. I don't know. He told me that it was good. Father Lambert doesn't have to ask who told her But he does.
Who told you this? Who told you that lie?
Satan did. Father Lambert feels his anger rise.
Oh, I wish that beast were here.
There is a violent rapping on the door, and for a moment the father regrets his words. He goes to the door and opens it to see a sad but handsome Satan standing there.
How dare you come here?
I've come to straighten out a misunderstanding.
There is no misunderstanding. My daughter told me that you put her up to burning down Joseph's barn.
There is a misunderstanding.
Do you deny it, then?
No, I do not.
Father Lambert begins to pray. He prays for Satan to leave.
You don't have to do that. I will leave? I just wanted to give you this letter.
Satan holds out the letter, and the priest lets it fall to the ground.
Sometimes the highest good seems like evil. That's rule number 3. Why don't you follow your own rules?
Satan bows his head and sadly leaves. A sad loneliness seems to follow him. The priest watches as Satan walks away and seems to just disappear. Father Lambert reaches down and picks up the letter. He heads toward the kitchen, stopping only momentarily to listen to the gentle sobbing of his daughter. As he continues to the kitchen, he sees his glasses next to the clock, which says 2:10.
Why always 2?
The priest opens the letter and sees the words, 2 is my number. It is the number of love. It is the number needed for creation.
That still does not explain why you had a man's livelihood destroyed.
The priest continues to read.
I didn't destroy his livelihood. I gave him freedom. He's been wanting to travel and enjoy his life a bit. Oh, I can understand his feelings. His barn and his horses are insured. They are insured for much more than they are worth. An insurance salesman thought that he had gotten the best of Joseph. He overinsured him to get the high monthly payments. But now the honest Joseph will be paid so he can have the dream he wanted. He's gotten married again at a late age. He is looking to enjoy his final years, and now he can. What I did seemed evil, but it was good.
He also scared the living daylights out of him.
The letter continues.
A little fear was good for him. It drove him to you and to God. You could not get him to come to you, but I could. My actions transformed him. Is not that your rule number 2?
I guess you're right.
The father looks and sees that there is a little more writing.
Please explain to Amanda. Please tell her how good her actions were. I care about her and showed her that I was not evil in only way that I could. I do things a little backwards. I am backwards, just like you.
The words seemed to stick with the priest. He actually started to go explain Satan's reasons to Amanda, but then he stopped himself. He realized how truly tired he was. The lack of sleep, the strain of consoling his parishioners the entire morning, and the sheer strain caused by the bizarreness of the past day and a half all seemed to hit him at once. So he went to his room to lay down for a few minutes. The minutes turned into the rest of the day. He was awoken by the sound of his front door closing. It was Amanda returning home.
What time is it?
It's about 2:45 in the morning.
2:45? Where have you been all night?
That's my concern.
What did you say to me? Don't talk to me like that. I'm your father.
Why didn't you explain about the barn? I saw the letter. You didn't care that I was in pain. You didn't care. I'm your daughter, and you didn't care. You only see things the way you want to see them. You are so unfair. You have always been unfair to me. Father Lambert grabs Amanda.
You will not talk to me that way.
Is the truth too hard for you? You always pass your rigid judgments. You claim to be so fair-minded and optimistic, but you aren't. You are controlled by rules and what you believe. You're the reason Mom died. You changed when you became a priest. She couldn't take all the stress from your new life. She couldn't take all of your holier-than-thou crap. Father Lambert slaps Amanda. I hate you!
Where have you been all night?
I haven't been anywhere all night. I've only been out for about 50 minutes. Amanda goes to her room crying. Father Lambert sits on the couch and puts his head in his hands. And that's how he again falls asleep. The next day, Amanda and her father spoke to each other, but not really. The next day was busy because it was Saturday. Tomorrow, they would be holding services in the church. The day seemed like any other busy Saturday, but somehow, it was different. Father Lambert kept watching the clock. When 2 p.m. came around, he half expected Satan to come walking into the church, but he did not. The priest looked out the thin glass windows of the church to make sure that Satan was not there. In the distance, leaning against a tree, he saw a figure staring in the direction of the church, but he could not be sure whether that was Satan or not. That night, the dinner was cold, even though the food was warm, and it was silent, even though the voices were so loud in Father Lambert's head. Then near the end of dinner, Amanda stood up and made an announcement. I stabbed a man last night. Father Lambert sits back in his chair, but doesn't say a word.
Why did Amanda stab a man? How will this one end? Please come back for the next episode of The Gallery of the Mind for those answers. And maybe even play the two podcasts back to back if you have the time. The music was Phantasm by Kevin MacLeod.
And, believe it or not, there were only two voice actors involved in that episode. They were Dave Dow and Susan Haid. I'd like to give them my thanks for helping me make this a great story. They are two very talented voice actors.
Well, I have to go. But I really enjoyed our time together, as I always do. So, I want to wish you all a good night. Goodbye.